The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Hyundai. Now offering 5 years free servicing on every new 142 Hyundai. Ireland's fastest growing car brand.
Catherine Dunn, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Catherine, of course, was the only Irish judge on the panel of judges for this year's Impact Award. The winner announced on Thursday, The Sound of Things Falling by the Colombian novelist Juan Gabriel Vasquez. So all of that, Catherine, means that you've been reading how many books in the past year?
Good morning, Anya. 152.
Yikes.
Yes, I didn't carry them all around with me.
And does it arrive in a big parcel altogether, like, here's what your work is?
Well, last August, when when I agreed that I would do this after a certain moment of trepidation and am I complete nutcase, but having agreed, two boxes arrived and I had a look at the two boxes and I thought, oh, that's not so bad. But that was only the start. I think there was another four then on top of that. So we had six very large boxes of books arriving sort of one after the other.
And so did that turn into homework then? Because one of the things most of us love about reading is the fact that we've chosen this book. Mm-hmm. We want to read it. We open the covers and hopefully we'll get lost in it or else we'd be very disappointed and end up putting it down.
Yeah, I think it was, having agreed to do it, the next task for me was to find out a way in which I could do it where it would still remain pleasurable, but that I would get from it what I needed to do in order to have other discussions with the judges. So what I did was, I knew it had to be a different kind of reading. It's what I called kind of wide awake reading, not the sort of book that I would read maybe for 10 minutes before I fell asleep at night, but something that I engaged with absolutely as I was reading it, and I would take notes as I went along. Mm-hmm. Because no matter how good your memory or no matter how engaged you are with something, there are significant things that you will forget 6 months down the line, and I didn't want that to happen. So it was a very different kind of reading. What I will say is the pleasure for the books that I really enjoyed and liked and that were to my taste, I probably got more pleasure out of those. The ones which were not to my taste, I probably liked them less because I was deconstructing them as I went along.
So you're working out the reasons you didn't like them.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that was very helpful because you have to have a fairly clear idea of what is good, what is excellent. And then for me, what happened was the difference between a lot of books on the long list and then the short list was that we actually moved from excellent to extraordinary. And when you get to extraordinary, then the gradations of judgment or of choice become very, very fine indeed.
And anyone who's in a book club will know from the kinds of arguments that go on backwards and forwards how individual these judgments can be ultimately. But the thing is, when we go on holidays, I suppose, compared with, you look at an award-winning book and, it looks absolutely fantastic and I'm sure it is, but then you go, it's about the drug trade and this, that and the other, and you go, oh God, it's another award-winning book that's depressing. Mm. A lot of people don't want to be depressed by a book.
No, absolutely. And I think that, unfortunately, some people are put off by something that has won a prize or something that gets great literary accolades.
Yeah, because they think it's going to be hard work.
Exactly. They think it's not going to be accessible. I think there's a whole debate to be had about how much readers can be trusted, because I believe readers really can be trusted, even with stuff that seems on the surface to be inaccessible or a little bit more challenging or more difficult or whatever. But the books that I've chosen here for today from the list, all of them are immensely readable.
They
were page turners.
So they are actually
way.
Holiday reads. They are a book that I can read on holiday and get lost in and turn the pages and enjoy.
I have to make a confession here that I never understood the concept of holiday reading. Because to me, a holiday is when I get the time to read the books that have been piling up by my bedside for the previous 10 months. So for me, holiday reading is great. It's that space of 2 weeks, if I'm really lucky, 10 days, if things are going okay, where I have nothing else to do other than go for a swim.
I think that's
down,
what most
read.
People mean about holiday read, isn't it? Because most of us, our lives are so busy. There are always books there that we want to read. But if you're picking a book up just every night when you're very tired, it can lose its momentum and it can fail to grab a hold
of
you. Absolutely. On holidays, you can read in the morning.
You can read in the afternoon.
You can read at night. You can read all night long. Yeah.
And I think all of these, certainly for me, these were all unput downable, apart from all of their other merits with regard to the prose style or characterisation or anything
else.
They're
just good reads.
They're great reads.
Okay, let's start with them then.
Well, again, I think the Impact is a really democratic prize, which was part of the reason that I was so pleased to be asked to be a judge, because these are not books that are recommended by academics or by critics or by people who might have very different standards from, let's say, communities of readers. These books all come through libraries. So they're nominated by readers all over the world. And libraries that participate in the scheme get the chance to nominate two books per library. And then they're filtered through the librarians and then they come and they either make it or they don't to the long list. So these are books that people who go to libraries and who enjoy books and who belong to book clubs, these are the books that they have recommended. So what I did was I chose the winner because I think we need to talk about the winner. And then I chose a book that made the shortlist. And then I chose a book that didn't make the shortlist.
Let's start with the winner.
OK, well, can I just say the reason I chose the two that were not the winners were because they're names that are not household names here. There were other books on the shortlist that are household names. I think one of the great things about the prize is that it brings unknown authors to new readers. So this one, The Sound of Things Falling, this is by the Colombian writer, as you said, Juan Gabriel Vázquez. And of course, the background is Colombia and the horror that the war, the drug trade was in Colombia and Escobar's time when he just, you know, declared war literally on the government and people weren't safe
this
walking
the
streets.
This was the drug lord. Yeah.
This was the drug lord. But it's told through a human personal story. And very near the opening of the beginning, the narrator, Antonio Yamara, is with a man he's met in a pool hall. Ricardo is this man's name. And Ricardo has something secretive about him, which I'm not going to reveal clearly. But Antonio and he spend a little bit of time together. And just one day, as happened in the Bogota of the time, they walk out onto the street together and there is a drive-by shooting. And Ricardo is killed and Antonio is seriously injured. Just a random, for him, he wasn't the target, but these random drive-by shootings apparently were happening all the time. What happens then when he recovers, and he, you know, it's obviously very, very traumatic, he almost dies. And then when he recovers, he can't re-engage with his life again. And this distancing of himself from everything that's going on around, from the centre of his own life, his wife and his little daughter, he can't re-engage with them. And it's a kind of a metaphor for how everybody's life was fractured during this time because personal safety became such an issue. So instead of being able to get on with his future, he is relentlessly drawn back into the past to find out what happened. Who was this man and why was he shot? And what was his story? And the story, the personal story then of Ricardo Laverde and his wife and his daughter, that then becomes the story of Colombia. So rather than being about the drugs trade or the war, it's about these people trying to find a way to live in the aftermath of horrific circumstances.
And actually, sometimes, particularly in terms of a holiday, it's brilliant to read about somebody in a different country and a different society, because, you know, it's taking you out of yourself.
Absolutely.
I suppose, in the daily routine. What else have you got? I like the cover on the next one.
Isn't it lovely?
Yes.
This is an Australian writer of Sri Lankan descent. Her name is Michelle de Kretzer. And this is a novel called Questions of Travel. Now, one of the things why I would like to bring something like this on holiday with me is I have a horror of, you know, running out of books before I run out of holiday. And that really is
not
something.
And that's a nice fat one.
And that's a nice, good, fat tome. So it's some 500 and something pages.
So you're not a Kindle woman, Catherine? No.
I bring it with me, but I still prefer, I absolutely prefer to hold a book. And I bring Kindle because that way I know I won't run out. But if somebody wants to bring a book, I think this is a very good one to take with you. It looks at the story of two very, very different characters. And the title looks at the reasons why people travel. I mean, some people travel aimlessly. Some people travel with a purpose. Some people travel because they have to if they're emigrants. So it's all about the big themes are questions of identity and displacement and belonging. But the human stories that are at the core of that is the story of the Australian woman Laura and a man called Ravi, who comes from Sri Lanka. And the background to this, again, I mean, I just came across so many wars that reading these 150 odd books, that it's just extraordinary to look at the amount of violence and discord and disharmony and fighting going on in places, frankly, that we don't hear an awful lot about. And not that any civil war is a pretty sight, but the civil war in Sri Lanka seems to have been extraordinarily brutal. And Ravi, who's the other main character in this, he has to escape. His wife is killed by government forces and his life is in extreme danger. And he is then, by various different means, he's brought to the safeness of Australia, which he finds bland. So it's really interesting looking at the pull of home and what home is for people and what they are prepared to endure in order to be at home. Now, it's a very, very long book, but it's a great portrait of how people travel in the modern world because they think it's good to go and see different places. But they're tourists rather than travellers. They go to see sites rather than becoming part of the society that they're passing through, if you like. So both of those, I think Ravi for me is the character that I would have preferred. And I think what happens, that the novel has a hugely satisfying plot. It turns full circle.
Because plot is a good part of a, you know, Finnegan's Wake isn't exactly a holiday read. Precisely, plot is really important, isn't it? You want a beginning and middle and an end.
Yes, you do. And I mean, this, while it would be quite an extended plot, it certainly has a beginning, a middle and an end and a very, very satisfying ending. So it's certainly one that I would recommend.
Okay, and your third choice there?
My third one is one that didn't make the shortlist. And I had actually never heard of this writer before. It's a Canadian writer called Linda Spaulding. And I think one of the reasons it made such an impact on me, first of all, the writing is absolutely beautiful. It's just stunning. But the story is also fantastic. And I had seen the film 12 Years a Slave, which I didn't like. It didn't do anything for me at all. I thought it brought a lot of heat to the slavery debate, but not a whole lot of light. And this does the opposite. This looks at a Quaker family who are sent away from Pennsylvania because the father in the family has behaved inappropriately as far as the Quakers are concerned. I'm not going to give away too much of the plot. But as a Quaker, he is absolutely anti-slavery. It is stitched into his DNA. This is something he finds absolutely abhorrent. But he and his family are now outcasts and they travel from Pennsylvania to Virginia. And the description of the winters that they spend there, literally, you know, trying to hammer the ice and the snow out of the ground in order to be able to plant something. They're really, it's heartbreaking. And in order for his family to survive that first winter, he has to buy a slave. He has to buy a young boy called Simus. And it goes completely against the grain. And then bringing that slave into the family. Again, I'm not going to tell you what happens because that's part of the plot as it evolves, but it just changes all of them and all of their lives for generations. It is a fantastic story. And what added to the interest for me was that when I read up about it afterwards, this is actually based on something that happened in Linda Spaulding's own family history.
Oh, wow.
And she was astonished herself when she started to research her own family to discover that generations back that some of her family had been slave owners. And of course, what does a writer do when they find out something like that? It's, I want to make a book out of this. And she has made an absolutely terrific book.
Okay.
It's a pleasure from start
book
to finish.
With you as well, Catherine.
Yeah, this is nothing to do with the impact at all. I was just asked if it was something that I was reading now that was outside the list. And I've only just started this, but it's Fallen by the writer Leah Mills.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And Leah had a wonderful memoir out a few years ago called In Your Face, an absolutely magnificent book. And this is her novel. And it's beautiful. I've only just started it, but it's looking at all of the events of 1916, but from a very different angle. And it deals with the Great War, if you like, which has been such a hidden part of our history up until now. The motivations that would make young people, what influenced them to enlist in the British Army and to go and fight in that war. So the sort of the narrative that we have received, the historical narrative, she digs under that quite a lot. And again, it's told through the story of two young people who try to have a relationship while all of this mayhem is going on around them.
That's part of what we look forward to, isn't it, about, you know, having a good read on holidays. It's the idea of being able to imagine ourselves so totally in another place with other characters that we really are stepping out of our own lives. We really are stepping out of the daily grind.
Absolutely. And I think that that's the whole thing about what you were saying earlier, having the time where you're not just reading something for, you know, half an hour. I mean, when you open the covers of any of these four books and you are immediately transported. And I think the experience is enriched if you can stay with it for the next 3 or 4 hours so that there's no interruption in that experience, because they all, you know, they'll take everybody out of their daily lives, absolutely.
Okay, well, they all sound fantastic. We will have all that list of books up on the website. I'll just run through the titles again, actually, very quickly. So we have Leah Mills' Fallen. Mm-hmm. We have The Sound of Things Falling by Juan Gabriel Vasquez. That just won the Impact this week. Michelle de Crester, Questions of Travel.
And we also have The Purchase. Actually, this is the one I really like. The Sound of by Linda Spaulding. So they'll be up on our website there. Catherine Dunn's recommendations for your holiday reads. And we're actually really keen to hear how you get on with them.
Absolutely.
Catherine, thanks a million for coming to talk to us this morning. Thank you.